morning. Today is Thursday, August the 23rd. Joining us this morning, Ferndale resident and ED at REDEC, Greg Foster.
Which stands for executive director.
Yeah. Not Ed, like horse. Horse racing. I was going to draw the whole hyphen together there, but you kind of blew it out of the water.
Well, and we're in the first week of the, starting the second week of the Humboldt County Fair today. And I've been there a couple times, and
it's
a lot of fun. A lot of fun, I tell you. I miss having all the animals there, though. We used to have a lot of animals there, and now that my kids are grown and I just sort of wander around like a spectator.
Lost.
Yeah.
You know, but I understand that the cotton candy booth keeps calling your name.
Well, there's a couple booths there that know me. The jumbo corn dog booth.
Oh, I see. Going for the health food all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, good times at least. All right. Are you ready, sir, for why do they say that? Why do we say balk? Why do we say balk someone's efforts when we thwart them?
Balk?
Balk, B-A-L-K.
Well, I assume it probably has to do with the baseball term of balk, which is when the pitcher starts his move to the plate and stops, and it's called a balk, and the runner gets to go to first base.
Yeah, there's a potential connection there.
Yes.
But you didn't get close.
Oh, no. Well, because we call it a balk in baseball, right?
Because the word balk comes from the Anglo-Saxon balka, meaning beam. And in the days before locks and keys, a balka or beam was put across the door of a hut to bar enemies or thieves.
Stopping their action.
I can't believe I wouldn't know that ancient
Anglo-Saxon term for a pre-lock.
Well, we've all seen it in the movies, right? They drop the bar down across.
Well, yeah. But I didn't know it was called a balkan?
No.
Balka.
Meaning beam.
Well, I certainly know that now.
You want to stay tuned for tomorrow because it's the other part of
sport
that we just talked about. Yes.
Perfect.
Oh, boy. So you got anybody over in Hawaii?
No, but I had a friend whose daughter's over there that just put on the Facebook, oh, great, of all the times.
Stefan's over there. He's supposed to be flying out today.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I would tell him to get on that plane and go.
At 3 o'clock.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah. So he's not sure what's going on. The impressive part for me was the 12 to 18 inches of rain in one day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Holy Toledo.
That's a lot of rain.
Yeah, even when you're on a mountain, that's a lot of
rain. Yeah, I would say get...
As Honeydew can attest.
get somewhere that's away from the ocean and sturdy.
That's what they were saying. I guess there must be a bunch of storm riders that want to go out there and surf.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Massively, massive high.
I just saw, and I can't remember where it was, New Zealand or somewhere, where the world record wave was just ridden. It was like 80 feet or something. Anyway, my son's a surfer down in Santa Cruz, but...
with some sanity still.
Yeah, there's just, I sent it to him, and he's just like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
No way.
So we know the problems with the airlines when San Francisco gets jacked up.
Yep.
Okay. Honolulu being, and the hurricane being, any issues with some of the international flights going back and forth, or is it...
I think most internet, there's not a lot of connecting going on. Honolulu, I think, is more of a destination airport. So you'll certainly see what they call O&D from Honolulu to everywhere else, the origin and destination flights. But I don't know that there's a lot of hub connecting going on there. Most people, if you're flying from the West Coast, say to Asia, you're over the top. They may be altering flight paths to get around things, but I don't know. There's a lot of disruption. Where we see disruption, and this has been going on actually during the summer, is East Coast flying and some of the hubs in the Midwest with weather there.
Coast.
Yeah. And when those airports shut down, there's a lot of connectivity there. And that just sort of ripples all the way through the system. System is very... I mean, as people know this, it's
sensitive.
It's very stressed, let's say. Yeah. And that that one part of it goes down, it does ripple all the way through the entire network. And that's not just because, you know, planes can't get to places, but crews can't get places.
What is the overall philosophy of the airlines, Greg? If let's say New York and D.C. and Boston, there's a major storm there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will they get the planes as close as they could and maybe have extra birds in, let's say, Nashville?
Sure.
And in Chicago, in Atlanta, waiting for the storm, and then they just have that last little leg? Or will they back it up all the way and they'll just, you know, if it's starting from, let's say, San Diego headed to Boston, the plane stays in San Diego until Boston's clear, and then they...
I think my answer would be all of the above. I mean, so you have these network planners, and it's interesting. I mean, it's so complex because you're not only scheduling the location of aircraft, but you're scheduling all the air crews.
Yeah, you got two or three different
levels. Right, right. Working. And so the, you know, what things that may not make sense to the layperson about, well, why are they holding the planes here, might have to do, well, this is where the crew base is and the maintenance base and everything else, so we have to keep the planes here rather than move it somewhere else. And you know, they're I mean, they're entire floors of skyscrapers with people that do nothing but try to figure out where the plane and the people need to be.
Oh, so it's not automated.
Well, I mean, it is automated, but there is a decision make. I mean, they obviously have a lot of software that they have to do it with, and crew planning software, and all that is very complex. But there is a human element to it. There has to be a decision. It can't just be, you know, someone's got to email the pilots and say, "Hey,
somebody's
got to
stand up and take the heat."
Exactly.
My God.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Not going to be server 128.
No. Exactly.
KINS News and Information Times 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, the concept of economic development is one thing, implying growth.
Right.
Okay. Holding on is a whole different thing.
Right, right.
Okay. So where does infrastructure, whether it's trains, boats, planes, cars, and infrastructure associated with those.
Right.
Where do those fit in with either attracting or retaining?
Right. It's really, I mean, so for business, there's a number of important factors, but one of which is your accessibility to your market and then your cost, right? They're two of the very important things. In other words, time to get your product to market, time to get your product, you know, from manufacturing to it's where it needs to be purchased. If you're a consultant, your ability to get to your client conveniently. So,
is it convenience or time?
Both.
time is a planning issue.
Well,
if it's product,
but time's also it's also an accessibility issue, right?
I make pencils, plastic right. pencils.
Right.
Okay, I got an order for 10 billion of these things.
Right,
due August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm waiting till July 31st, shame on me.
Right.
To ship them out rather than going, yeah, let's get these things out of here in the middle of the month and we'll move on
right.
to something else and not worry
about
it.
But think about this. Let's say you've purchased those, you have them already, and then the highway goes out and you can't ship them, that kind of thing. So I'm thinking about local transportation infrastructure. So it's important that we maintain that infrastructure no matter what it is. And not only maintain and improve it, because expectations in business have have risen. I mean, we used to, you know, I mean, I remember as a kid, hey, we got the Sears Roebuck catalog. We'd go through and pick out the stuff, and then, you know, you'd either order it and it would come through the mail and
you get all excited waiting for it.
Or we would come up to the Sears in Eureka, which was an hour away, and we'd go shopping. And, you know, nowadays it's like, oh, you know, I can't wait that 2 days for my product to be shipped on Amazon. And so expectations rise. And I think about when
Wait, is that market wide or is that segments of the market?
I think it's everywhere. And I'll tell you why. When I moved up here back in 1991, most of my work was out of the county with a customer. I was a consultant, did a lot of work across the state and across the country. Back then, you know, this is 1991, so we had the fax machine. I could get to the airport and fly out, and I had the telephone, and I had the U.S. mail. And if we were really in a hurry,
it was UPS,
right? Well, and if I wanted to do something overnight, we could do UPS or FedEx, right? Now it's, I want a video conference right now. I want you 24/7.
Well, isn't that establishing your relationship boundaries?
To a certain extent, yeah.
Now, if it's contractual, then do you have
So you do, and you can do that if you have a strong relationship. But the problem is there's always hungry folks out there who are willing to say, you know, you'll get access to me 24/7. And so, you know, it is.
So you need to have that infrastructure in play.
Exactly. And so, you know, as the pace of business, whatever the business is, increases, and the complexities of business increase, we need to make sure that the infrastructure that we have here support that. And, you know, I mean.
Now, other than Caltrans, what we hear is we need blank to stay where we are. We need X millions of dollars to keep the roads in the city of blank
serviceable. Right.
Not expanding, not increasing, not
well, and I'm not
adding,
just talking about roads.
Just maintaining. I would presume the same thing with airports, the same thing with boats and docks and things like that. We're not talking about expansion, we're talking about maintenance.
Well, except we are talking expansion as well. Let's talk about broadband, for example. You know, the data needs of business are always increasing. and so when we, you know, and I got into this fight a long time ago, when we were at REDEC and others, we were advocating for to get the completion of the first fiber optic line. And, you know, we were fighting for something that probably 5 or 10 years before we didn't even know we needed or didn't exist, which was this broadband internet. And at the time we were talking about, oh, that'll allow people to get T1 internet connections. Those are, you know, 1 meg service, you know, and when you got that, you were just, oh my gosh. I cannot believe how fast this internet is, right? And we were all upgrading from, you know, modems that, you know, with 14,400 baud modems, which are, you know, incredibly slow.
Worked for that time.
It worked for that time. But so we could have maintained the microwave system and, you know, people could have had their dial-up modems and all that. We would have, in maintaining that, completely lost our ability to do business. You know, in reality, and so, you know, we're constantly pushing that envelope on the broadband side, which is okay. So we needed the first. Now we got the first. We can get T1s. We're seeing more DSL, digital subscriber link.
So there's expansion on that side,
mm-hmm.
But for the other infrastructure, maybe not so much. So
right,
that inequality something that is by design or just kind of because of the cost is
well,
so
cost
different.
Is part of it, right? So we could build a second fiber optic line across Highway 36 and that costs about $14 million. You can't get a lot of road for that. And that was able to, you know, do a lot for the redundancy here.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC, one of our sponsors, along with American Ag Credit, CDH Painting, and Lolita Cheese. Greg, a lot of business stuff in the news right now. Yeah, 2 days ago, Joann Fabrics is kind of how we know them, but Joann Inc., I guess, was indicating that once the proposed tariffs with China start to hit, that a lot of their textile costs are going to go up significantly, 40-50%.
Yeah, there's a lot of textiles come out of the China.
It's not out of the Southeast anymore. It's out of China. Exactly. So there's going to be some shifts with some of the natural products and some of the rayons and the polyesters and stuff. OSH, Orchard Supply Hardware,
right,
being shut down by Lowe's.
Mm.
Okay. Things are shifting. Are we just a little bit more sensitive to it because the economic numbers and the general economy nationally is going so robust that when something goes down, it's kind of as an outlier? Mm. Or are just things always happening?
I think things are always happening, and you know, we may hear or see more of it because of just the nature of the way information is shared now. But you know, I think you can look at in the 40s and the 50s. I mean, you always had these big sort of iconic, you know, chains or places people talk about that don't exist anymore. So change is inevitable.
It's kind of nice to see, like Macy's.
Right.
I don't know if there is a Woolworths anymore.
No.
Or Newberry's
Montgomery,
or some of those.
Montgomery Ward. I mean, you know, and these were businesses. I mean, talk about Sears. They just announced today another 46 stores closing, I think. 13 of those are their Kmarts, and the rest are Sears. And, you know, a company that in the latter half of the 19th century was an absolute disruptor nationally, right? Came out with the whole catalog sales, and you could get anything you wanted through the Sears catalog and have it shipped to you by train, basically.
Literally, yeah.
And you know, so they were an absolute disruptor. Innovative and but didn't adapt to change. You know, they got big, they became more brick and mortar, got rid of the catalog, you know, did a lot of things that when another disruptor or multiple disruptors, but I'm thinking sort of Amazon, which was basically an internet catalog company. It's basically Sears with the internet, right? When you think about it in some ways. You know, Sears didn't respond, and even Toys R Us. You think about Toys R Us, which obviously went out of business.
Yeah, I still don't. I don't get that. I don't get the bookstores going out of business either.
Right,
the big boys.
Well, and part of the Toys R Us story was they'd taken on a tremendous amount of debt for brick and mortar and some other things.
So they just got leveraged out.
Yeah,
that's always a tough spot.
Right, and so they were making decisions, you know, based on maybe even a historic business model and not looking forward to what the new business model would be, which is probably something that didn't support a tremendous amount of debt for brick and mortar.
It's interesting with a lot of the retailers that they're always looking cutting edge, newest, greatest, upcoming item.
Right.
That they wouldn't be doing the same thing with the marketplace. So as they're looking for the next Tickle Me Elmo, say.
Right.
That they wouldn't see the trends going for the marketplace that's interested in buying that product.
Right.
And begin to adjust their distribution channel, for lack of a better term,
to the ultimate
consumer accordingly.
Right. And you know, some do and some don't. And I mean, using a local example, I won't name the business, but someone was talking to me about a business here that was struggling a bit. And I said, you know, I haven't been in that business. And I walked by it. I haven't been in there in 15, 20 years. And the reason is because
they're not getting invited in.
Yeah. And it looks the same as it did 20 years ago. And you know, the shoppers of 20 years ago, let's say you're in that demographic 20 years ago or 25 years ago, that's a heavy shopper. Well, that's not who retail is attracting anymore, right? Those people are aging out.
Or their lifestyle has changed, so they're not in the bullseye anymore.
Right, yeah, exactly. They're retired, so they aren't buying suits or, whatever.
Diapers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, certainly.
Oh, maybe they're getting close.
I have to say, I haven't been in a baby store in a long time, and I used to spend a lot of time in those stores.
Right,
but,
when grandpa comes around,
right.
You'll be back. And I suppose that's part of this.
That's years away, by the way.
The consistency of, being known for what you offer.
Right.
Just want to be sure that what you're known for is what the market is interested in.
Well, absolutely. Don't make the mistake as a retailer that you think people have an obligation to shop you. it's like, shop me because I've always been here for you, or customer loyalty is on the wane. Brand loyalty is kind of on the wane, except like my grandparents, I always had to have a Ford LTD. That was my grandparents. Every 5 years, a new Ford LTD. Well, I don't know that people do that anymore.
I don't know.
Some do, and some don't.
I must be kind of the anti to what you say. We go to certain food establishments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look up and down the menu. I know I'm there for a certain experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if it's somewhere new, okay, I'm looking for something that's different.
Right,
but
right.
If I'm going to a place that's no, I know what I like, and I don't want to waste that time to be disappointed. I'd rather spend the time and be. And get what I want.
Well, and I think that's important. So you're always adapting to the new market, right? But your best customer or your easiest customer is the one that's coming in regularly and you're retaining, right? And so I think it's really important, though, to keep an eye on that and look at, I have my regulars. My regulars are getting older. Instead of coming in twice a week, they're coming in once a week. Now they're coming in every other week. And maybe
pay attention to your customer.
Yeah, you
base.
Really got to really start watching that, right? Yeah. And
no surprises.
The thing is I'm just going to do more of what I've always done, and sometimes you got to do something new.
Maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. Yeah.
Exactly.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47, rapid fire section.
Now, oh, there we go.
Mr. Foster.
There we go.
Verizon seemed to bite the big one as it was relayed yesterday with the Santa Clara County Fire Department.
Yeah,
going on there? Now they're trying to blame customer service. They're trying to blame that the fire department didn't buy the Super Duper Max one.
Welcome to the world of no net neutrality.
Yeah, well, and that was some of the argument, but Verizon and others are saying no, they were sold the wrong plan.
Well, regardless, yeah, I mean it's whatever it is, Verizon PR I'm sure is trying to figure out how to deal with this. It's interesting, another Verizon story. I go to this little campground in Montana, and it brings up a story of whether or not because the broadband is largely unregulated, whether or not we consider that now an essential utility, or is it just something that's nice to have, right? And sort of regulated as something that's nice to have, not an essential utility like, water, sewer, and electricity. So Verizon built this new tower, and this is in Madison County, Montana, which is southwest Montana, very rural. And it looks like a tree. And everybody, including the fire department, everybody got Verizon cell service as a result. Well, then Verizon sold it to AT&T. And so now nobody with the Verizon phones, including me, gets any signal there. And so, you know, and that affected, and I was talking to one of the business owners there, and they said that affected public safety because the fire department and everybody else went over that. So something like this, it's like, well, what do you mean you sold the wrong plan to the fire department? They're the fire department. They should be getting... Yeah, platinum, you know, scale, because it's very important.
Part of your franchise fee.
Right. Except you don't have that, right?
Right.
And so you know, it does bring up that issue of whether, you know, is it becoming to the point where it's a utility, or should it be standards and public safety standards? I don't know. But yeah, regardless, it's a PR nightmare.
Your quick responses aren't too quick, dude.
No,
we're down
I'm
to
sorry.
Like 20 seconds here.
Oh, okay.
Any movement on the Kmart building in Eureka that you're hearing? Any whispers? Anything?
I saw some raccoons walking around there the other day.
That's kind of what, yeah.
That's so close. But, you know, we're hearing about In-N-Out and Kentucky Fried Chicken and everything else coming in. And
we'll
it's actually nice
here.
To see that that property, that old Blue Heron property, was going to be redeveloped.
Yay!
Finally.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody at the fair.